A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 10th September 2024, Tuesday class. So as usual, we'll be doing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. It's based on Master Xuanhua's commentary. Okay, let us gather for puja first. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati patau eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kami sumichachara eramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Mosawada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. We will continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarapa dittena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanda gandha guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kesumena nena punena metena cehotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bawang Adivase tu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all this significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panna, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple J. Batang Puja. Damang Puja. Sanghang Pujemi. So as usual, we are off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, maintain awareness, no need to do anything. Just allow the mind to settle down naturally. Just let things be. Whatever arises, allow it to be. Don't try to change anything or do anything. When the mind can settle down, it will slowly, slowly return to its original state before the thought process, the thinking, the stirring, the reaction, the heedless thinking or the habitual thinking. So when you can realize that, that is your true mind, your silent mind. So relaxation is very important. Just relax body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness means just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't try to do anything. Then allow this awareness to stabilize. The only challenge you have is not to let it doze off or sleep. So maintaining awareness is important. If you are tired, the body need to rest, then it's different. Then you can rest your body. But you should try your best to maintain awareness. So this awareness-based meditation, where you understand, is very easy. Just let things be, then let the mind settle down and become quiet, peaceful, and without thought. The moment you are without thought, that is your true mind. That is your meditative mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within, before the arising of thought process or the thinking. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, these are the mind state that you need to maintain and develop them so that you can stabilize them and use it to stabilize your daily mindfulness while living life. So the ability to be mindful throughout the day in the midst of life, the daily mindfulness is most important, the stability of it. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. It ติเปโสภะคะวะอะระหังสัมมาสัมพุทโธวิจารณสัมปันโนสุขโตโลกวิทูอนุตตรโภริสัทธัมสารติสัตตเทวมนุสานังบุตโตภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอะกาลิโกเอหิปัสสโคปานายโกปัจจาตังเวทิตาโบวิโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติดังจตารีปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสภูกาลาสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตะเกลิการาเนโยอนุตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค you all can be seated. We shall continue from where we stop. I think we are at page 606 of the commentaries by Master Xuan Hua. So the commentaries continue. What is the advantage of doing no evil? If you do no evil, you will realize Parinibbana and attain its four virtues of permanence, joy, or sometimes they translate as bliss. Then they also translate as true self and purity. But living beings continue to do evil and are not receptive to admonishment. So this one, I think, is a typical behavior of living beings that are heedless without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom. That's why there is a tendency to continue to do evil and are not receptive to any advice or admonishment. By this point, the Buddha ran out of beings he could teach. The Buddha tried the approach of exaltation, but they did not listen. Then he tried to warn them using the approach of admonishment, but they still did not listen. Since there is no teachable living being, the Buddha decided to take a rest from teaching living beings. But then, if he did not teach living beings, the Buddha would have nothing else to do. So he couldn't stay idle. He decided to teach the great vehicle, supreme vehicle, Dhamma. He teaches the great supreme vehicle, Dhamma, through the Siddhanta of exaltation and admonishment again, which entails the application of spiritual powers and wisdom. As this sutta say, adorned with the power of samadhi and wisdom, they save living beings. So this passage conveys the same meaning. Samadhi gives rise to spiritual power. Spiritual power and wisdom are both very impressive powers. The Buddha guides and inspires living beings with this magnificent ability or powers. Previously, when praising the elders, it was said that he was advanced in years. This represents the virtue of wisdom and virtue of severing. My body and arm have the strength. Signify the function of the virtue of wisdom and virtue of severing. The elder thought, my body and arm have the strength to carry them in a cloth bag and on a table out of the house. In India, a cloth bag is used to carry flour, like the paper bag we use today. The sutra is not referring to just any cloth bag. This cloth bag, which symbolizes the Buddha's knowledge and vision, can be filled with many things. This signifies that the Buddha's knowledge and vision, although straightforward in themselves, can encompass the knowledge and vision of all living beings. Here, knowledge refers to omniscient wisdom, while vision refers to the Buddha eye. Having attained omniscience, there is nothing the Buddha does not know. Through the Buddha eye, there is nothing the Buddha does not see. With his knowledge and vision, the Buddha can rescue all living beings from transmigration in the sixth destiny. So the Chinese text for table consists of two words. The first character is zhō, is it zhō? Then zhī la, or zhī, is zhī. Ji, not zhī. Yeah, but it's pronounced as that zhō zhī, the zhī, so ji, or ji, a small desk or table. Then the second one is tāna. A large table. Okay. For example, we have placed several small tables together here to make a large table. A small table is mainly or usually supported by four legs, while a large table often have more legs. The small table is a metaphor for the four kinds of fearlessness explained previously. Fearlessness deriving from knowledge of all phenomena, and fearlessness in teaching the Dhamma, then fearlessness in explaining the impediment to awakening, and finally the fourth one is fearlessness in teaching the cessation of dukkha or suffering. The small table represents the Buddha's teaching and transforming living beings with this four kind of fearlessness so that they may escape from the suffering in the three realms and free themselves from transmigration in the sixth destiny, Liu Tao Lun Hui. However, the Dhamma of the four kind of fearlessness is relatively limited, as a small table is not wide and extensive enough. The large table is added. It represents the Buddha's 10 powers. Although Shenhua explained these 10 kinds of wisdom earlier on, he shall explain them again now for those who are not around. You should not be concerned about hearing the same Dhamma once, twice, thrice, or even five times. Why? Hearing it once, it has walked through your eight consciousness once, and an indestructible Vajra seed is planted. Do not assume that having heard the Dhamma once, you need not listen to it again. The Dhamma is just like our food and drink. You eat today, does it mean that you would not have to eat tomorrow? No, you still have to eat every day. Having eaten, you wait until you are hungry again and eat again. Listening to the Buddha Dhamma works the same way. You hear it once, and then you hear it again. Do not fear listening or hearing it too many times. If you do, it means there is some problem about the wholesomeness of your roots. What is the problem? The problem is retreating from your resolve for Bodhi. When we listen to the Dhamma, it does not matter who is lecturing the Dhamma. As long as there is a lecture, we should take time from our busy schedule to go listen. We should think, I will listen to the Dhamma lecture, whether the speaker is good or not. Out of 100 sentences, if there is even one sentence that resonates with me and help me get rid of my fault, I will not have listened in vain. Therefore, you should listen to the Dhamma, no matter who the speaker is. You should not think, his lecture is meaningless. I'm not going to listen. When you listen to the Dhamma, you plant your own Vajra seed. You are also supporting the Dhamma assembly and the monastery. You should shoulder the responsibility of the monastery as you would those in your own home. For that reason, you should listen to the sutra lectures and the Dhamma every day in the same way that you carry out your daily household chores. Okay, the 10 powers are repeated here. The wisdom of discerning right and wrong in every situation. And number 2 is the wisdom of knowing the karmic result throughout the 3 period of time. 3rd is the wisdom of knowing all the stages of dhyan, liberation and samadhi. 4th is the wisdom of knowing the superior and inferior potential of living beings. Then number 5 is the wisdom of knowing the interest and inclination of living beings. Number 6 is the wisdom of knowing the condition of living being. Number 7, the wisdom of knowing the future rebirth of all living beings. Number 8, the unobstructed wisdom of the heavenly eye that knows the future rebirth and death of living beings and their karmic reason. Then number 9, the non-outflow wisdom of knowing past life. Then the last one is number 10, the wisdom of knowing the permanent elimination of habitual tendency. Okay, the Buddha teaches and transforms living beings in the 6 destiny. With this 10 type of wisdom, so that they may live suffering and attain bliss. Li Ku De Le. The 4 kind of fearlessness represented by the small table comprise a relatively simple Dhamma. The 10 powers represented by the large table are more comprehensive, but horizontally and vertically. For 21 days, the Buddha thought and pondered, what Dhamma should I use to teach and transform living beings? Should I use the great or the lesser Dhamma? After deliberating for 21 days, he decided upon the Dhamma of exaltation, which gather in. It gathers in living being in the same way a magnet attracts iron filing. It is therefore classified as the Siddhanta for individuals. The approach of admonishment, teaching living beings to refrain from committing offenses. It is also known as the teaching through subjugation. Since exaltation and gentle words have no effect, the alternative is scolding. In this case, the Buddha must be harsh in order to teach effectively. The approach of exaltation is the compassionate approach. The approach of admonition is the approach of subjugation, in which he teaches with awe-inspiring authority, and that living beings will do as directed. The Buddha teaches and transforms living beings by gathering them in and by compelling them to submit. Through the four kinds of fearlessness, the ten powers, and the Tathagata's knowledge and vision, the Buddha led all living beings out of the burning house. They will all escape from the burning house. He further reflects, but this house has only one door, which is also small and narrow. What is the one door? It represents the supreme vehicle, the Buddha vehicle, the white ox cart. Even though this is the great vehicle, the one Buddha vehicle, the door is too narrow for so many people to cram through it at the same time. Therefore, the sutra texts say that the door is small and narrow. One represents the teaching of the one vehicle, the purity of the one path. Door represents the proper teaching, the orthodox teachings of the Buddha. Furthermore, a door is an opening that leads somewhere. Where does it lead? It leads where it is meant to lead. In the same way, the proper teaching influences and guides the living beings who are meant to receive it. Why is it small and narrow? Non-Buddhists cannot go through this door. Non-Buddhists tend to hold the views of externalism and annihilism. Not even living beings of the seven expedients, which I will tell you about in just a moment, can go through this door. Only bodhisattvas of the great vehicle, perfect teaching, are able to pass through this door. The seven expedients are the vehicle of the humankind. Number two is the vehicle of the gods. Number three is the vehicle of the sound hearer, Saraka. Then number four is the vehicle of the Pacheka Buddhas. Then number five is the vehicle of the Bodhisattvas of the Tripitaka teaching. Then number six is the vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the interrelated teaching. Then number seven is a vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the distinct teaching. Those are the seven expedients have the disposition of the lesser vehicle. They have not realized the inherent and supreme state of the great vehicle that interpenetrates perfectly without obstacle or obstruction. Therefore, they cannot pass through this door. From the perspective of those in the lesser vehicle, this door is too small and too narrow. However, from the text of the teaching itself, this door is magnificent. It is meant for those in the great vehicle. Only the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the perfect teaching can pass through it. Those of the lesser vehicle, failing to comprehend the great vehicle's perfection and wondrous teaching, say that the door is so small and narrow. Actually, it is not small or narrow at all. It is as vast as it can be. What is meant by the oneness of reality? The wondrous principle of the one Buddha vehicle is pure, not a mix with other principles. As there is only one principle, the principle is exceptionally pure. This pure path is the only path. So it is said that there is only one door. Why is the door small and narrow? The Dhamma of the oneness of reality and the oneness of the path are so wonderful and inconceivable that they are not easy to understand. Because they are hard to understand, the door is small and narrow. Explain in terms of the principle. This is called the oneness of reality. To further explain it in terms of the teaching, this is the wondrous principle of the perfect teaching, in which the provisional and the ultimate are non-dual. Ordinary people do not understand or know that they should exit through this door, for they do not understand the provisional, nor do they know that they should enter through this door, as they do not understand the ultimate. Ordinary people understand neither the provisional nor the ultimate. Those of the two vehicles knows how to get out, but cannot understand how to get in. Thus, they also do not understand this teaching. Although the Bodhisattva know the way out, they too do not know the way in. The Bodhisattva referred to here are the Bodhisattva prior to the level of the distinct teaching. The aforementioned Bodhisattva of the seven expedients. Those of the seven expedients vehicle do not understand this teaching. So they say that the one Buddha vehicle is small and narrow. Why do they deem it as small and narrow? Those in the lesser vehicle are not able to follow the path of the great vehicle. Since they are unable to travel in, the great appear small and narrow to them. Therefore the sutta say, I shall be forerunner and abundant expedient, means to only teach the one Buddha vehicle. This Dhamma door corresponds to the one Buddha vehicle or the supreme vehicle. To summarize in terms of the teaching, the door is small and narrow, and therefore is only the Buddha vehicle. There is only one door, because the door is that of the white ox cart of the great vehicle or supreme vehicle. The one door represents the one Buddha vehicle. We have now already explained the one Buddha vehicle with reference to the teaching and principles. Now we will explain why this door is small and narrow from the perspective of practice. This practice refers to cultivation of the perfect teachings. It is a direct and straightforward cultivation, not around about principles or practice, and nothing can obstruct or block it. This is known as the oneness of particle. In cultivating the Bodhisattva path, you proceed directly towards Buddhahood, arriving at the site of awakening where you realize Buddhahood. It is like a door, because you head directly and continuously towards it in your cultivation. However, this door is a kind of wondrous practice that is difficult to carry out. The great vehicle Buddha Dharma is not an easy cultivation, since it abandons all expedients, means no more expedient methods or technique or skillful means. Doesn't the sutta say, I shall be forerunner and abundant expedient? Once all skillful means are abandoned, the door becomes small and narrow. In reality, the Dhamma door is by no means small and narrow. It is the widest and greatest of door. Then the sutta say, my children are young and immature. So here, children refers to the 10, 20, and 30 children mentioned previously. They are the Buddha's disciple of the three vehicle. The sound hearer, the Paccheka Buddha, and the Bodhisattva. How are they immature? Everyone knows that children who lack experience are not afraid or alarmed. They are young and immature. What does this represent? During the time of the 20,000 Kotis of Buddha, those of the three vehicles studied the unsurpassed path and cultivated the Bodhisattva Dharma. Those 20,000 Kotis of Buddha taught them the unsurpassed path, but their good roots in the great vehicle Dharma were still feeble and weak. So the great vehicle roots were weak. They are referred to as young and immature. In the Buddha Dharma, those of the three vehicles are regarded as little children. The elder said that his children are young, immature, and naive. When those of the three vehicles hear the great vehicle Buddha Dharma, they criticize it because they have insufficient gurus. Not only do people of overbearing pride, like the 5,000 people who left the assembly, lack faith in the Buddha Dharma, they were even run off when they hear it because of their feeble and insufficient gurus. They still have ignorance. The children are attached to and engrossed in their place of play. They are caught up in their childish game and reluctant to leave their place of play. This indicates not only that they are unable to accept the great vehicle of Buddha Dharma, but also that they have retreated from the resolve of Bodhi. Having retreated from their resolve, they end up attached to views and affection. Those who are attached to views and affection are referred to as being attached to and engrossed in their place of play. Having retreated from the resolve of Bodhi, they are besieged by the eight kinds of suffering. They are attached to their circumstantial and primary rewards. Their circumstantial reward, also known as the material world, includes the mountain, rivers, land, buildings, and structure. Their primary reward, also known as the sentient world, refer to their physical body. Ordinary people are attached to both this world. Yeah. There are beings in the three rhymes, the rhyme of desire, rhyme of form, and the formless rhyme. Beings in the rhyme of desire attached to the five desires. They are wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep. The term five desire may also refer to the five perceived sense objects of external form, external sound, sense, flavor, and tangible object. Beings in the realm of desire are generally attached to these five perceived sense data. Beings in the realm of form have not only form, but also attachment. They are attached to the flavor of Dhyan Samadhi. Beings in the four Dhyan heaven take Dhyan bliss as nourishment and fill up their Dhamma joy, but they are not yet free from form. So they are attached to the delight of Dhyan and the joy of Dhamma. All day long, they are extremely happy to the point that such happiness is inexpressible. That is why the heaven of the first Dhyan is called the ground of joy and bliss, of abandoning affliction. Then the second is the ground of joy and bliss born of Samadhi. The third is called the ground of sublime bliss that transcends ordinary joy. And the fourth is called the ground of clear purity of abandoning thought. That kind of meditative purity is the state of Dhyan flavor, as is the wonderful bliss of Dhyan. What is Dhyan flavor? The flavor of Dhyan is the taste of meditation. Having gained a taste of meditation, beings in the realm of form become attached to this kind of happiness in the same way that children eat one piece of candy and then one another and another. Those beings in the heaven of the realm of form are attached to the flavor of Dhyan Samadhi. Beings in the realm of the formless also have their attachment too. They are attached to their formless realm, jhana. Although we may stress precept, samadhi, and wisdom every day, you should not get attached to them, even if you are born in the heavens of formlessness. If you are attached to samadhi all day long, it is still an attachment. With such an attachment, you will be able to get out of the, sorry, you will not be able to get out of the three realms. Thus, living beings are said to be attached to and engrossed in their place of play. Not to mention beings in the realm of desire, the realm of form, and the realm of the formless. Which of us human beings are not, has no attachment? If we have no attachment, we would have escaped from the three realms. The reason we haven't yet is because we still are attached to this and that. Although most people are innately intelligent, they sometimes do foolish things. Why do they do such foolish things? They are attached and caught up in their place of play. They run here and run there to play. Today they may run south and tomorrow north, and the next day they may run east, and then the day after west. They go in all eight directions to play. People cannot let go of their ignorant behavior or relinquish their deluded knowledge and views. This is what is meant by being attached to the end, attached and, sorry, I read again. This is what is meant by being attached to and engrossed in the place of play. Why are they so attached and reluctant to leave? It's because it's a lot of fun to them. Some go to the movie and forgot all about home because they get caught up in the movies, attached to and engrossed in their place of play. Or they may run off to a casino to gamble and forget their home as well as everything else. They might say they have entered some kind of samadhi, the samadhi of gambling. When watching a movie, they enter the samadhi of watching movie. When dancing, they enter the samadhi of dancing and forgetting everything else. Those who drink alcohol or liquor enter the samadhi of drinking. Those who smoke enter the samadhi of smoking. Those who take drugs enter the samadhi of taking drugs. Wouldn't you describe that as attachment to and engrossed in their place of play? Indeed, all of these examples of deluded amusement are cases of being attached to and engrossed in their place of play. And what happened next? The next sentence lies in right on the line. They may fall and be burned in the fire of the burning house. Luckily, the text say may. Without the word may, it would mean that they would fall for sure. Because the word may, they still have some hope. They may or may not fall. Both possibilities are still open. This means that if you correct your fault and reform yourself, free yourself from attachment, turn from confusion and wake up sooner, you may be able to avoid falling into the lower destiny. If you do not wake up, you may very well fall. May indicates a sense of uncertainty. It is like when someone has been accused of an offense, but the judge has not yet announced a verdict, saying something like, "You are convicted and will be sentenced to jail for 5 years." Before the verdict is handed down, one may or may not be convicted. It could go either way. Why might they fall? is because they are young and immature, hence foolish. Children have little life experience and are therefore ignorant. This is an analogy for the ignorance that leads people to cling onto the five desires, which cause them to fall into the three lower destiny of the hell, hungry ghosts, and animal realms. There are two reasons for their falling. First, being young and immature may cause their falling. Since they are too young to understand things and too eager to play, they will fall. The second cause is a lack of understanding. In other words, they are naive and know hardly anything, which will also lead to their falling. Being naive means that they perceive suffering as bliss and turn away from inherent awakening to interact with mundane defilement. They forsake awakening and follow defilement instead. They don't know any better. Such people who take suffering as bliss will easily fall into hell and the realm of hungry ghosts and animal realms. Once they fall, they will be burned in the fire of the burning house, the fires of the eight kinds of suffering, the fire of the five skandhas, and the fire of the five turbidity. Once burned by this kind of fire, it will be even harder for them to awaken. Oh, okay. So at least we finished that part. Eh? Now we go to the other part. Method of admonishment. Not suitable. Okay. So the sutta say, I must alert them to this frightening situation of the burning house. Means house catching on fire, and insist that they hurry and come out before they get burned. So thinking, he said to his children, come out, all of you, quickly. Although the sympathetic father coaxed them with kind words, the children continued to happily indulge in their play, refusing to do so as he asked. They are neither alarmed nor afraid, and they have not the slightest intention of leaving. What is more, they don't even know what is meant by fire, what is meant by the burning house, or what is meant by loss. They merely run about here and there, looking playfully at their father. So this is the what they call Sutta's way of expressing the reality of human existence, or within the 31 plane of existence, where living being actually deludedly and hideously get entangled with life. Okay, we go to the commentaries. We still have some time. The wealthy elders thought to himself, I must alert them to this frightening situation of the burning house catching on fire, and insist that they hurry and come out before they get burned. Meaning, I must tell them to escape before they are burned to death. So thinking, he said to his children, come out, all of you, quickly. Meaning, hurry up and get out of the burning house. Then the next part of the sutta say, although the sympathetic father coaxed them with kind words, means guiding them and exhorting them with kind words, the children continue to happily indulge in their play, refusing to do so as he speaks. So this is a typical situation of living beings, because to them is they think it's fun. They don't see the danger. Meaning they only care about playing and do not heed the elder's word. They are neither alarmed nor afraid, means they have no fear of being burned by the burning house, the fire, or of losing their life. and they have not the slightest intention to leave. Which means the children have no thought whatsoever of escaping from the burning house, where they don't see the danger. Then the sutta continues, say, what is more, they don't even know what is meant by burning the fire. Meaning the children are so young and naive that they don't even know what fire is. This represents living beings of the five destiny, not knowing that the eight kinds of suffering and the five skandhas can scorch their Dhamma body and burn through their good roots just like fire. They don't even know what is meant by the burning house. They also do not understand the five skandhas. Means the five aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana. Then the sixth sense faculty, the sense basis. Then the 12 sense field. Then the 18 sense shrine. And the six sets of six. The three sets of six, making up the 18 sense shrine. Means the first set is the six sense faculty. Then the six sense object, followed by the corresponding six type of sense or consciousness. They are the 18 sense rhyme. And what are the 18 sense rhyme about? They are like a vessel that contain all suffering. They are the origin of suffering. Therefore, if one does not know that the skandhas, the sense field, and the sense rhyme house, or suffering, is like the children not knowing what a house is. Lacking the concept of fire represents not realizing that they are being burned by the eight kinds of suffering and the five skandhas. So this explanation is very good. The five skandhas means the five aggregate of form and mind, and within our five aggregate, the sense bases are there, and because of the sense bases, it excuse me, it manifested the 18 sense rhyme, where living being can be deceived and deluded. Because it's like the phenomenal world of consciousness. From the five skandhas, the second aspect, which is the thought process, it manifested what we call the 18 sense rhyme of phenomenal world of consciousness and form. And this is how living beings get entangled. And this is how living beings deludedly fall. Yeah. So from the four circle formation, now we look back, we understand the analogy very clearly. From the source, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. But most living beings, when they are born into our existential world, they fail to know that there is originally the awareness, pure awareness nature, the first thing that arises. Yeah. They only accustomed with the mundane thinking mind, the thought process. Then from there, because our senses, we can have sense experience. We can become conscious. Conscious of life. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Means conscious of what has been perceived through the sense basis. Then from there, the 18 sense rhyme is like a magician. Consciousness create magic and illusion, illusionist, for us to actually get entangled and trapped. Without wisdom, without awareness, you cannot understand, you cannot see. So the burning house analogy is very good. The five skandhas, the 18 sense, right? All these are good analogy to actually explain the situation of the existential world and living beings dilemma, or what we call entanglement with life and existence. Okay, go back to the sutta. We have finished that one. Lacking the concept of house representing not, oh sorry, lacking the concept of house represent not realizing the five skandhas and the 12 sense feel and the 18 sense rhyme are a vessel full of suffering. This one is a good description. The naive and deluded children, they lack, the children's lack of the concept house symbolizes living beings' failure to realize the power of the five skandhas, the sense feels and the sense rhyme. The children who do not know what is meant by fire and the house, or what is meant by loss and burning. What does loss mean? In this context, loss refers to turning one's back to the light and getting lost in the darkness, wandering endlessly in samsara, in the cycle of birth and death. Not knowing what is meant by loss is an analogy for not knowing the causes of losing one's Dhamma body. They do not know about loss because they are not aware that they have lost their Dhamma body. So this is one way of describing it by Master Shenhua. Actually, the actual meaning is we forgot that we arise from that nature, the source, the pure awareness nature. That's why after the living being fall from that karmic process, they get themselves entangled through heedlessness and delusion until the day they encounter the Buddha Dharma to really reverse all this understanding and come out of it. Okay, the next part of the sutta say, they merely run about there and here and there. Means they run to the east, the west. They have no guiding principle to follow and no definite idea of where they are heading. They run around aimlessly. This aimless running represents turning one's back on the light and go towards darkness. By running headlong into the darkness, they experience the cycle of birth and death over and over again. Means samsara for eternity. At one point they are in heaven, later they are in hell. They have no control over their birth and death. Then the children run around, looking playfully at their father. Playfully means that although their father tried to persuade them to leave the burning house, they do not know what a fire is, what a house is, and what loss means. They just go right on experiencing the cycle of birth and death, samsara, not alarmed or frightened in the slightest. They just stare at their father, smile at him, and act as if nothing matters. They think they are having a lot of fun. This is an analogy for living beings who do not respectfully cultivate the great vehicle Dhamma or listen to the teachings of the great vehicle. This passage represents the time when the Buddha tries the approach of admonishment. The elder represents the Buddha warns the children, but they do not listen. Therefore, the Buddha considered giving up on teaching living beings, although it occurred to him to stop teaching, because he is very compassionate and cannot bear to forsake living beings. So he decided to come out with some other ways to save them. Okay, we stop here. So this is the part where we finish. Yeah? Good. So the next part of the sutta, I think, go down. See, someone move it up. Okay. I think we stop here. So the next part is analogy of using the card. Analogy of suitability of the three cards, means the three vehicle. Analogy of knowing the children's predisposition and preference, then analogy of praising the three card has been rare. And analogy of suiting the children's wish. Good. Okay, we stop here. I will mark this page. Okay, we are at page 628. So now we are having our second session, which is meditation reporting, or followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A session, Dharma in daily life.
其实我是想分享那天我的 continuation a bit.
Yeah,
就是说,
that one is very good, 那天的.
就是, 佛陀也用譬喻品来 教导我们众生, 我也利用 就是这个 nature, 就是树的 那个植物就是天然大自然的 来教导我自己, 因为它是很好的一个 怎么样讲, reflection on 就是植物也能够那么的坚强, 那我们的所谓 我们在daily 我们遇到的一点点的困难, 我们就好像很容易的被影响,
对,
然后再下来就是 蚂蚁那么小,
对,
都要偷身而去把大树给住掉,
yeah, 沙土, yeah.
所以这一切的一切 让我有很多的 怎么样讲, 就是很启发我,
yeah,
我的,
also that day Man Yuan sharing,
yeah.
那个 WhatsApp 的 也是不错, 很好, 一棵树要倒了, but can support so many things,
yeah. 所以 我就把这些拿来做一个 like 一个怎么样讲, 就是来学习的对的方案讲, 就 你就慢慢觉得 你会 go through 你就学习, 然后就 忍耐的 go through, 然后我们的心就慢慢的变成越来越坚强, 越来的 能够 accept 很多东西, 因为你看他们都能够这样, 为什么我们不能?
对的,
所以那个是我学习的对象。
Yeah, that is also what I learned in the early years when Ajahn Yantra taught me about life itself is our greatest teacher. We can learn a lot from life, from nature. So, 那一段我还记得, after he mentioned all those important Dhamma, then 我 reflect 下去, 就好像你 go through 了, that time was 1986, 87, 1987, 88, 就好像你讲咯, 食物那些, means nature, those that are actually without life, not as complicated as human being, they can also endure and develop such beautiful understanding just to accord and flow, then how come living being can't? And the reason being, living being has the consciousness, but the user of this thought process or consciousness, when it's deluded, then the craving is the one that caused them to want things their way, develop attachment, entanglement, and fall. And the simplest thing is to learn from nature. That's why I remember Ajahn Yantra always start by saying, nature just give and give and give. Nature has great loving kindness, you see. Nature never take. Yeah. They don't show any selfishness and all those things. And there is no emotion involved. Then nature always echoed and flow, is it? They will shed their leaves and bud again when conditions are more favorable. When conditions are not favorable, they do what they have to do. They have to lie low, they lie low. They have to shed their leaf, they shed. Then all this, I started to develop understanding. Then he said, you look at the tree, they endure the great sunshine, yeah, and provide shade for living beings, or especially human beings for our case. Then for us, we have the shade, and yet we don't appreciate, we don't have gratitude, we don't have what they call the understanding to feel like blessed and all those things. That's why last night also I contemplated when it comes to Noble Eightfold Path, there was one section on right view leading to right thought. Actually, right thought, now after the contemplation, I came out with another understanding which can help people develop a lot of this right thought. Yeah. You must have gratitude, contentment, and you must express it out. Yeah. You like radiate. Yeah. I remember it was actually while I was doing my meditative contemplative understanding while sleeping, middle of the night actually. It was 2-3 a.m. Then suddenly the Dhamma arise. So he said, we must actually arise all this kind thought. Yeah? We rejoice, yeah, with living beings, kind and wholesome thought. Yeah? May your loving thought, your kind thought, or your whatever goodness and kindness pervades the world, adorns society and the world. Yeah. So when we know how to actually invoke all these kind speeches to actually thank people, yeah, thank you for all the what they call wholesomeness that you have developed, and also your whatever virtue and understanding that can be a blessing to all. So may all this wholesomeness that you have developed stay with the world, means adorn the world, adore society. Then there are many other aspects of right thought which I have actually reflected, but I didn't have the time to write it down. Yeah, after that, I just went off and sleep. Then when I wake up, I realized it was beautiful. Maybe I will write them down later on when I have the time. Then I share with you again. Well, that part was really, really beautiful. So what you come out with, I recall in the early days of my training, it was from nature that I developed the understanding. Then I start to change. If nature can do this, why can't we develop the understanding and learn from nature? Then I like the word, life itself is our greatest teacher. Yeah. Then we can learn a lot of things actually from life, existence. Yeah. That's why whatever you encounter, you do not perceive it in negativity, then you will not get yourself entangled. That's why I say there is no such thing as a problem. It's where I reflected, contemplated that time. Yeah. Then when I learned all this, I realized this is what nature's wisdom is. Nature don't have a consciousness and a thought to perceive things with negativity. That's why they don't suffer. And they can echo and flow, because that's why I like to use the analogy last time I shared with you, or when you meditate, like you are a dead person. a dead person cannot perceive, cannot react, cannot respond. It can just let things be, means accord and flow. So that aspect was the wisdom that my nature contemplated, reflected, and applied to life itself, to existence. That's how I was able to break free from all those dualistic entanglement. And through all this understanding, all the wisdom part that I shared with you all to cut short your training, to accept the world for what they are. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that thing. So these are the contemplative wisdom, the final understanding that my nature evolved out from Ajahnantra's teaching on life itself is our greatest teacher. So that part, like what Alicia going through now, is very important, very beautiful. So you can learn and develop all those understanding. Your wisdom will stabilize. Then you can actually apply that Dhamma and make it a living reality. And the understanding will go in very deep. If nature can do, as a human being, we're supposed to be more intelligent and wiser. Why can't we do? There is no reason why you cannot develop those understanding. You only have to accord and flow and follow the example where they have shown it to us. By being natural, not reacting, not perceiving negativity, not having all the defilement or cunningness of mind, which actually translate as attachment, clinging, grasping, and holding on to things and wanting things our way. That's why we react and stir our mind. We're never able to develop the understanding to be at peace with all things. Not like nature. Nature, they are by nature like that. They accord and they flow. Condition like that, things be like that. So if you can be like nature, you become beautiful. Despite the consciousness trapped inside, just like our brain, our memory, nothing wrong with that brain and memory. You know how to use it. So not being deceived and deluded by the mundane creation from that memory, then we will not have problem. That's why the fifth patriarch told the sixth patriarch, this mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deceived by it. And that is the wisdom part, to enable the cultivator of the way to have the Dhamma of the unconditioned and the conditioned to live life, to understand life, to develop all the, what they call, pristine, experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life through all this understanding. And how? Sadhu. So that part, make a note so that it can benefit you. But I also benefited from it in the early days of my cultivation.
Yeah, Sadhu Bradio. 其实我们如果回归自信，其实它都是很清净、很具足，什么都有。而且我们如果能够运用到这一点的话，我们的所谓的心啊，那个心，所谓的心就是可以包含太虚，就是很 vast， 我觉得
对对对，
就是它就是能够
yeah， it can embrace everything， yeah， like Sui finally realized we have to embrace all things， because these are nature's condition， 它是这样了的哦， suchness 哦，它是一个overall 的 totality 的 flow 来的。They call it the law of dependent origination, condition arising causal phenomena. 一切有为法嘛，它就是 governed by the five panchaniyamas, that governs life and existence， 它就是这样了的。如果你不接受，你就带来苦。That's why ability to embrace all of existence, the conditioned and the unconditioned, is genuine wisdom, true wisdom. 包容啊，你用的字 very good 啊。包容。
Brett， 真的，我发觉到这个所谓的能够走到去那个那个所谓的那个心的那个清净的心，所谓的清净的心哦。哇，真的是当我今天在港的那边，我在做我的东西，然后忽然我想起那个 experience 在五台山最后一站的那个，就是他那个心这样开来。没有 boundaries 那个就是献给我，就是让我知道，如果我们能够走这个菩萨道的时候，你的心能够包容所有的一切，而且你的心也很悲悯所有的众生，能够看到他们的苦，就好像你自己，但是这个是在世间法里面呢、啊，所以哇，后来我明白到，原来这个心真的很，
yeah.
就是你用言语你是不能 explain 到的，真的让我感到很。哇，我好像是没有 words 的去 explain 这个
understanding，because it is the boundless love， like limitless， 它真的可以开到这样的哦。I remember in the early years when I was cultivating this nature， it can really extend until and pervade the whole of the universe， so vast 哦。好像你讲了包容 everything 全部众生， then when you make that vow to take them all across， 真的 it manifests， then when you radiate metta or what， 真的 all this living being， limitless living being throughout the entire existence， then 你那个 consciousness 会 like develop until 很 vast 的，真的你这个宇宙多大它都能够 embrace the whole thing、oh. and that time I really developed the deep joy and gratitude inside because that mind is so embracing、so extensive, so vast and it can just continuously like become the oneness then they call it the limitless limitless， 好像 unending one， very very vast one， and 你修得到的哦，它真的 that nature can become like that one， 真的 beyond your thought already， beyond all this mundane thinking or something， that's why the awareness nature is 不可思议，that one。You cannot explain on because that nature is really not only wonderful, it's very amazing one. 真的 they use the word 什么、啊、你以前用那个 Mandarin word 不可思议、不可思议 yeah. That one is really true. Very good. Continue. Yeah.
Brett， 不可思议为最妙法。
对对，最妙法。
对 ，Brett 真的，很感恩，很多gratitude。还有就是走着走着，我忽然觉得你会很自然的有一种奉献心，就是来你要，好像怎样说，你很无私的去奉献，就是你要帮来你做 certain thing 啦，你是没有想到我为什么要这样做，或者我要怎样做，这样你就是做罢了。所以感恩佛菩萨，感恩 Brother Dio， 感恩所有卡拉米达陪我一起走这个path。所以maybe 我让别的卡拉米达分享、感恩 Brother Dio， 阿弥陀佛、
阿弥陀佛、
其实刚刚雷莎讲的那一番话、其实我很有感触哦。
哇，沙杜
因为其实当你在很某一些状态的时候，你会觉得其实这个世界真的是充满了很多，怎么讲我不会讲，
沙都
你会 很感动，很多所有
对对对，
就算是一只蝴蝶这样飞过去，
对对对对，
你都会觉得这个世界是真的很美好，
对，美好。
虽然我们说人生来是苦的，但是你会很感恩说，哦，你可以成为一个人，然后来了解这一些所谓的真相，
对，
然后你就会觉得那就不是在。虽然你是苦，可是你却有机会
呀， yeah, 那个代价值得。
对啊，对对，啊，所以其实，不过因为我觉得我还很不 stable， 所以我必须是我很独处跟安静的时候，我其实可以感受到这一些， yeah,
感受得到他讲的东西了啊。刚才他讲一句话，什么心了啊？Alicia 讲 No, when you are in that state of mind, No, 有一个什么心呢？ You started by saying that one. 刚才苏怡讲什么？
那是后
不是冯先生，还有一个 When you are in that mind state, you become very different. You can like, 包容 everything one.
但是我必须承认，我不是永远在那个状态。
Of course, it's impossible to be in that state all the time, because 它是因缘法嘛，它是有因缘的时候，它就现出来了。你修到那一段啊，你观到那一段啊，它真的，好像《心经》讲的，真空妙有wonderful existence。Within true emptiness, you realize wonderful existence. Then, 他好像会理解啊，好像你的 understanding 一样啊。Actually, to be a human being 啊， is actually a very wonderful thing. 因为他会让到我们有这个 understanding 哦。So just like just now I mentioned, 值得。Actually, despite all the suffering 啊， all the 苦啊。Which living being had to 面对了 but there is another aspect of the human life where human being can realize those wonderful understanding. 那个真的钱买不到的。
所以我后来我跟我的老公，我们都觉得，因为我们已经到这种年纪了，然后。好像没有什么是可以很高兴，除了你自己在。
对，沙度，那个是 real wisdom 啊。Because that is nothing else that can be more exciting than what you have realized. But that is like the beauty, the pristine beauty and wonders of life and existence. 你都悟到那些了，还有什么会比那个更来 excited 嘛，没有了的。那但是有时候啊，你说，like ability to be born as a human being 啊，已经很满足了啊， already very contented already. But that is what. That's why in my seminar paper I say to realize the highest potential of a human being.And that is the realization. When you can realize that to be a human being is really, really very rare and very, very special. And you can realize the highest potential of a human being means to realize that nature that can have this ability to understand so much thing, the wonders of what they call creation.And also the wonders of nature. 我们的那个forcing, or that two mind, the awareness nature, 那个啊 when it manifests 啊，真的不可思议，it really has that type of beauty, wonders, and the word cannot describe one. Only the individual that went through that manifestation and realization can have that understanding. That's why 那一段啊，真的 only cultivator of the way, spiritual cultivation can give you that type of understanding. 其他的 materialisticsuccess and all those things 啊，他那些actually 不能够 compare 的，他是真正的没有的 compare 的，那个是 materialistic success, joy, happiness, all those things, 那个是 pertain to the senses 的，这个是 pertain to the realization and the understanding 的，它是超过那个念头的，真的不一样，好啊，不错啊，
所以我觉得笑看人生其实就是让你会回头觉得，虽然可能我以前年轻的时候是无知的，但是我也很感恩那个过程。
呀呀呀呀，因为有经过嘛，experience 过。那一段啊 actually 啊 not bad 啊 yeah, you can learn a lot from it because that is how you embrace the whole thing 啊，你没有经过那一段啊，你不能够 like 有一个 understanding that without going through all this you cannot ever really understand what they call the intricacy of life 生命啊，它 not only乐，它也有它的苦的 aspect, and 它的苦也是很奥妙的。That's why 鲜花 used to use the second turning, 这是苦如因之啊。This is suffering. Not only I have understood it, you also must understand it. That's why when you understand both suffering and happiness,then you can transcend duality. Otherwise, you cannot. That's why 一切 they call 有为法 actually, without wisdom, you cannot accord and flow. You will end up suffering. 因为你会执着，因为你追求 the good part 嘛，那个 happiness 啊 joy 啊wealth 啦，什么 ？So all these are the aspect of duality that thought create for you to attach and cling. Then, 因为是 conditioned world 嘛，有违法嘛。When condition cease to be, it cease to be. 它不是永远哦，你不可以 like believe 啊，做住了。It is not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, cross on to it.This is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. And 拥有没有这回事的。So that realization is a very beautiful thing. That's why after 你一 awaken 的那个，你就 like tell yourself, no reality, 一切都是假象。That's why 慧能六祖的那个 the three type of spiritual cultivation or the hallmark of his cultivation. 你 break free from 无念 means able to realize no thought. That is the first realization. 那个无念的境界 means you realize your awareness nature. Then with your awareness nature, you develop the direct seeing, the awakening, and the realization. Then you realize,No mark. No mark, 那个无相 is very powerful. 那个 no mark, 啊，你一了解到那一段啊，你就不会给这个宇宙骗去了。大自然 existential world, oh, they got no power over you. Then 你又能够在这个 existential world, live life, because you understand life. then you don't have to suffer. Then you can experience all the pristine beauty and wonder. Na yi tuan, the understanding is the one that makes the understanding reach the pinnacle of the human life. Means that is what I meant by you can realize the highest human potential to be a human being, a true human being. Then 他的那个 third hallmark 更厉害. When you realize 无住, no dwelling, but 那一段 not easy, 那一段 你的 mundane mind 要 collapse 掉了, 那个 nature shine forth 了, you can really live in the world where there is no dwelling one. Your mind doesn't dwell anywhere. Well, this is your oneness nature. 就好像刚才我跟你讲的, it can really expand until limitless. Like, 无边啊, what? 你们 Mandarin 有一个 word, 无什么的啊? Like no limit one, limitless. 无尽无边啊? whatever it is, that nature become like that, the oneness nature. And all this is what cultivation and Dhamma's beauty and wonders is. 你真正的, as a human being, you have this potential to realize all this. So 那一端的修行啊, 真的奥妙, very, very beautiful. Then life, existence, although like full of suffering and all things, but 没事, 因为你有了那个智慧, then 就好像菩萨, you can continuously come, no problem. 就是好像那个菩提心, the fourth stage of Bohemian development, where you can renounce samsara, means samsara 没事了. In fact, the third stage 很厉害了, 那个 Bohemian that illuminate that nature, 你能够入进那个 gateway, until 你进去里面 cultivate until your this nature shine forth, then it can illuminate that nature. 这个菩提心 really illuminate that nature until 这个 nature 整个 become very different. Then means 你了解到一清二楚了啦, 那个 nature. Then after that, all the creation 你了解了, the four circle formation, how from there it create all the mundane existence, all those things, then how samsara, how karma, birth and death, how living being, 众生, 全部你了解. Then that phase 就是 fourth stage of Bohemian development. Bohemian that has the ability to renounce samsara. Means samsara to you is no more issue, no more problem. 他们不了解的人会 complain, 哇,修这条菩萨道这么长的时间,这么什么, to you, no more such delusion anymore. 因为 existence, 那个 duration, no more meaning. 因为你每次来, 你有这个智慧, 你 understand existence, 嘛, 你还怕 existence 做什么? No reality, but you can live it, oh, that is the beauty. And every phase 你来, 好像这一次, actually, before 35 years old, 1989, of course, 1989 onward, 35 years onward, my nature has the understanding, I able to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, means the life of a mind that has the wisdom, no more suffering. Already very beautiful, 很奥妙. But before that also, the birth until before 1989, my life was so beautiful. It's also equally beautiful. Although I didn't connect, but I realize I'm different. Like I said, I didn't do anything. I just echo and flow. I mean, everything already like planned for me, you know, my nature to come, you know. 就好像那个陪你到天涯啊，因缘早安排啊， that word is very true 啊，因为它是因缘法来的嘛，你有那个 vow 那个 wisdom 那个 understanding 啊， is already planned for my nature to come no and this segmented life no。 That's why 我看回去啊，我什么都没有做， I just accord and flow 啊啊。 So accord and flow means 那个是最高的境界咯 wisdom， 没有 condition you don't do anything 咯 no。 Unless got condition, things will not arise on. And that one is what Krishnamurti meant by wherever there is choice, there is confusion. That's why I don't make choice. 我是 based on 因缘法。There's no reality, man. You choose 来做什么。Then, like last time I used to share with you all, at any time, this form and mind segment can just go.It will not have any thought, 哎呦，这个还没有做，那个还没这回事的。不要，一切有为法， no reality, 如梦幻泡影。And that is the beauty of life. That is what the Heart Sutta meant, 真空妙有，真的 wonderful existence, amazingly wonderful.So that part 真的很 beautiful. So 谢谢你跟 Alicia bring about the condition to share all this. 真的这个是very seldom people can understand. And today because of condition, 我就刚刚好用那个 condition 来 share all this, express all this. Because 这个 today I think I describe it in most clearer manner. Earlier on, I just mentioned here and there, but 全部 not connected. But 这一次 because of Alicia 的 case and Hui Rong 的 sharing, then I can connect the whole thing with the three hallmark of Hui Ning. Actually, three hallmark of Hui Ning 很厉害的。他那个三个 hallmark 的境界 is the pinnacle ofwisdom that a living being can really penetrate and understand. 因为他真的 the first thing that human being must realize is 无念的境界 the state of no thought to realize your true mind. And when you realize your true mind, that is the beginning of it. 那个是初初的修行 means to go in, to realize enlightenment. Then after that, you have to actually go through the provisional teaching to realize the cessation. 那个是 sainthood way 罢了 also still superficial. No? Then after that, you must locate the gateway. No? 那个进去了它 shine forth 了它的那个正念不一样了。That mindfulness awareness, Alicia, Pocheng Thamana, and many other Kayamita, they start to actually develop that movement inside. 那个一 transform, 那个境界又不一样了。Then after that, it can allow you to understand so clearly until you penetrate what they call the 因缘法 Patijja Samuppada.那个因缘法 a lot of level, no? 你要 break until, 那个境界 means third phase of Bohemian development. 那个 nature 会 illuminate 到很厉害 then it will penetrate a lot of things, no? Then 他就知道全部都是无相 means no mark, no mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of existence, no mark of Dhamma,living being or whatever. All these are created by the mundane thinking, mundane consciousness. So all this understanding, they will manifest. Until 那个 cultivator, very amazed one, 到那一段的时候, then of course, 第三个 hallmark 就难一点了, the mundane mind collapse.那个就不容易做。 As far as my nature understand, that one you need to really have a lot of parami, your past cultivation and all those things. That's why Liu Zhu Hui Neng, he's a rare being, very rare. 他真的真的 very rare. So all these are very beautiful. Very good, Hui Rong. Pass back to you. 还有 5 minutes.
今天真的是很兴奋。
Yeah, 很兴奋。
讲不出来。
So, 这种佛法真的找不到了。找不到了。
真的很发心。
Yeah, 发心。So,
因为其实在佛教里面当然有很多的一些理论在那边。
对对。
那我们不可以抓住那个理论来说，哦，我应该哪一步哪一步应该怎么样？
对对对对，
而是在你的生活的过程里面去试炼。
对，
其实我最近有一个困扰，因为孩子都长大了嘛，家里只有我跟我的老公
啊，对，
那我嫌我的老公打呼很严重
哦、oh, very common.
因为他真的很严重
yeah,
所以我就搬到我家最上面我儿子的房间
哦、oh, OK
哦、oh, 我觉得我觉得那里是我不是说跟我老公在一起不好而是当你一个人独可以这样子独处虽然说那个不是一个很长的时间，就是晚上这样子。
对
啊、哦，可是哦，你会好好真的觉得
，Yeah, that
不是说
that understanding actually very beautiful one.
不是
because 你好像不需要 anything one 哦、，because it's inside there you are nothing.You are nothing, nobody, and that's all. But to be there is like what Krishnamurti said, the difference between aloneness and loneliness. 你明白吗？我写起来。这个 very few people understand on. 这个是好的。Ability to be alone, aloneness. The other one is loneliness. 这个是不好的。So when you are lonely means you need somebody, right? 这个啊，你可以不用 anything in the world 啊 ，and yet you can stay alone, no? 就是好像他讲了 ，it's just because 他的 husband snore too loudly 啊，打呼噜。It's nothing to do with that. Actually, that one he will overcome later. 没事的。If you want to know, you can ask Sui An also. Sui An will know. We are, me, Sui An, and Bert Tim, three of us stay one room. So initially, when Bert Tim came, Papa Suri already warned us already. Said, my husband snored very loud. One. Said, well, really, so far, that is the loudest one. But he improved not over time. So to Sui An and me, no problem.他 every time last time start on. Then now, no problem, 他自己 aware, 他的 snoring reduced by a lot. Then for me, how loud also no problem, it's just like, no dwelling, never dwell anywhere, just silent. So because of that, 你能够在这边 stay, without any,what they call 念头啊 that nature 在里面呢、不一样的、you really realize 啊 you are nothing one、什么都 because I used to ask you all the word、without thought who are you 记得吗、you go and find out without thought you can be in this state of aloneness because 不是人来的这个是一个 nature, that nature is sometimes they call it Buddha nature, it's a oneness nature. 这个境界啊很难realize it one. This one you really have to penetrate what they call the second hallmark of Hui Ning first. 那个无相啊。Once 你了解了无相啊 ，you will break free to realize this. You are nothing. You are nobody. 你不可以 describe 哦。But that is your nature, and that's all. And that nature is not a being, and that's all. 你要 realize that one. Because from there, it become a thought, very fast one. 就出来了的。Then 那个 egoic mind, 那个 atta 就跑出来了。So that one that you realize one is very good. 你跑去你孩子的房间啊。Then 你真的 went into that one 啊。那个是I should say it's a very rare gem to realize. Then later on, 他会帮你，帮你了解那个 understanding. What is the meaning of to be alone? 他不是一个人在里面哦。So aloneness and loneliness, Krishnamurti you define. He said these two are different. 真的 different. Then 我一听到我说哇这个家伙不错啊蛮厉害啊。For him to understand that, 他真的有那个经验那个 understanding. Very good. 何荣沙丢
可是哦 我会现在怎么讲会现在自己的 Monday Mind 里面的地方就是我会很贪恋那一种感觉。
Oh, of course, initially 你第一次 experience 到啊。
不是可是其实在我们的生命中常常会有这种机会那 你只知道你很喜欢那种感觉。
对对 对, 对。
可是会觉得说比方说。
But 不是一个制作来的啦。
当然它不能是执着但是你会很喜欢那
种感觉。But that is the state you completely cannot talk about it or cannot explain. It's really like that one. Because what many times I went into that, then I try to understand who I am and what. Cannot, 没有字出来。Then someone never, 你不会怕的 no fear nothing one. Because that thing, 我记得有一次 while I was walking, suddenly I went into that state, then 它在里面 like no fear nothing one, 什么东西来都不怕的。因为它那个不一样哦，真的 it's like you know there is nothing inside there, All these are creation 来的 ，so nothing can actually come in and interfere 哦。
但是那种感觉好像是你站在黑暗里面，这样子看着的，我不真的就是好像
它是那个 nature aware, the awareness is aware that it's like that one, no fear nothing one 哦，它不是 thought 来的哦，它就很奇怪的，it just like even let's say。To make it more extreme, let's say you, people say got ghost lah, got whatever lah, 你不会 like 摇动的。The thing, you know one, nothing, even this physical body get destroyed also no problem one, because that thing is not what you think one. Oh, 你真的能够 be in that state one. Oh, and the awareness just like that.哎，停在那边了，That's why after that I realized, 哇 ，this is what that nature is. That's why 一路来I try to hint to you all, that nature 很厉害的，很厉害的，very powerful 你越修那个越来越强了But it's not to say psychic what, no, 没有那些的，它是没有东西。Yet very powerful, 他能够了解 a lot of things, a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom, and a lot of things can manifest from there. But 他是 nothing inside there. But 他那个 nature 怎样去讲啊？讲不出，而且他没有东西的。But it's like that one. Okay, very good. 慧荣，萨度萨度萨度啊，可以 summarize 啊。Or to be continued. Okay, okay. So let us rejoice with all the good sharing today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we better share merits. Akasata Chevumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasada Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhiya Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Devo Satukalena Sasa Sampati Hetocha Vito Bhavatu Lokocha Raja Bhavatu Dappiko Imina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, Quan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.